VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
Want to welcome everybody to the special Never Forget version of the show today. What do I mean by that? Tomorrow is the 15th anniversary of the attacks on 9/11, and moments of silence do not play well on the radio. Therefore, I will simply remind everyone, never forget every chance I get today. Because it's real important. I do get the feeling that the mentality today is more equal to the mentality 15 years ago today than the mentality of the public 15 years ago tomorrow. And that cannot stand, people. We got to do something about this. All right, back to your money. Welcome, everybody. Regulars, thank you for tuning in again. Without you, we're nothing. And for the new people who are either driving by or have heard about us or just left your radio on, welcome. See if you can stick around for a while. But I'm going to tell you something about sticking around for a while today.
It's going to be a little trickier.
A little different. And this goes for today and tomorrow. Next week. Yeah. If you're listening on 100.3, it's no problem. You don't need to listen to the rest of this. If you're listening on the internet, it's no problem. You don't have to listen to this. But if you're listening on AM 600, they are cutting away at 10:30. To the Florida State football game.
Go Noles.
Bias all over the place. Anyway, at that point, we can be reached on 1600. If you would like to, you can just flip over to 1600 right now and go all the way through. So it's only the second half hour on 600 that's affected, and there are a lot of workarounds for it. So there's no excuse to miss any of it.
And the same goes for next weekend as well, when there is a daytime, a 12 or 12:30 kickoff for the Seminoles during the fall. That will be the case going forward. But after the fall, we're back to regular.
Yeah, and that doesn't impact a whole bunch of different times. But it will impact us once in a while, and we'll try to remind you of it early in the show so that you don't wonder what happened when all of a sudden we're saying one thing and then all of a sudden you're hearing the Florida State fight song and things like that.
Yeah, and we'll also remind you right before the half hour as well.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's see. I would like to say something nice about the market. How about it was a short week? That's the best I can do.
Well, the first 3 days weren't too bad.
True. It was a short week, but it was so bad yesterday, I considered jumping out my first floor window.
I'm glad you didn't.
At my age, it probably wouldn't
my brick ahead.
Do well. It wasn't that bad. That's the message.
No, it really wasn't. It felt really bad because we haven't seen that in a while.
And I got a couple of theories as to what and why, too. But let's tell the folks what happened in case. First off, everybody, if you have an account somewhere, don't look at it.
No, not today.
Yeah, just have fun this weekend. Don't think about it.
Yeah, good idea. But if you listened last Saturday, you might remember that we were predicting some volatility this week. And we also said that the Fed was controlling this market. Well, the market waited until Friday to prove us right, but it did so in a pretty big way. We had not seen a 1% move in the S&P for about 2 months, but it happened Friday, and it just so happened to the downside. The S&P gave up over 63 points on Friday, or 2.45%, while the Dow closed down 394 points, or 2.13%, and the NASDAQ, not to be outdone, gave up 134 points, or 2.5%. The last time we saw a drop of that magnitude was in June, and it was caused by the quote-unquote unexpected Brexit vote.
More on that later.
The declines were pretty much across the board on Friday. No sector was really spared.
Remember that? No, that was a strange thing.
Yeah, it was.
Usually,
everywhere.
The money goes out of something and goes somewhere else. This went out of the market and into your pocket, apparently.
Remember also that September is historically the worst month of the year for stocks, and this one seems to be following that trend. But keep in mind that the average monthly change in September is down only 0.88% yes. for the month. So,
although the average in September over 100 years is negative, it's only negative slightly. And big Septembers are all over the place.
Yeah, to the upside and
up
downside.
Up and down. Yep.
Yeah, that exactly is true.
Right. So it's not one of those just get out for because it's September or October things. I don't think that's the answer to anything.
So it wasn't Janet Yellen this time, but another Fed member, Boston Fed Chief Eric Rosengren, said that he is in favor of gradual rate hikes. And that was kind of what spurred the decline, or at least that's what was blamed. There are many things that bother me about that, the least of which is his statement. In fact, I agree with him. And we do need to do a series of gradual rate hikes.
Yeah.
At this point in time, it just makes sense. What bothers me is the market's reaction to this. Is a quarter point rate hike in December going to kill the stock market? I really doubt it, but the reaction makes it feel that way. That's not logical, to me anyway. It also bothers me that the market hangs on every word out of the Fed chief's mouth to the point where they almost control the stock market. If that isn't evidence that the Fed system has morphed into something that it was never intended to be, I don't know what is. As far as a rate hike, I still don't see one before the November election. My theory is that the Fed doesn't want any part of looking like they influenced the election, and a major downward move in the market during the months leading up to it could be interpreted that way. Prior to plummeting on Friday, oil was having a pretty good week. Thursday's report on inventories was a huge surprise, with an expected rise of 905,000 barrels actually coming in as a huge decline of 14.5 million barrels.
So the price plummets.
No, it actually rose 4% that day.
That day?
Yeah.
Plummeted
the next day. It gave back all of that and then some.
And gasoline inventories did exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
This isn't economics the way we were taught.
The gas inventories were expected to fall 750,000 barrels, but actually fell by 4.2 million barrels.
Yeah.
So not quite as big as oil, but still a big, big number.
But the difference still is that supplies are historically large.
They are.
Even after those losses.
If you look at the graph, that drawdown went a long way towards correcting that.
Yep. We're almost back to normal. I've talked about this endlessly over the years. Oil is the most self-correcting commodity out there. Price will always adjust. Volume will always adjust to whatever the market says. And it's coming almost right back on the nose into balance again.
In other economic news, weekly jobless claims once again came in at a historically low level of 259,000. The streak of sub 300,000 readings continues, and the JOLTS report got back on track this month with job openings hitting another all-time high. In addition, job separations, which have been increasing, dropped substantially in July. The total job openings rate and private openings rate are both at all-time highs as well. And the quit rate is showing a trend up, but it is still low compared to other healthy job markets we've seen. Until the pay or quality of jobs increases, the number may stay at that current level. The other number that is sitting at an all-time low is layoffs. So in summary, there are a lot of jobs available. Most people who want to work are working. However, people that are working are not taking new jobs because they are either too scared to leave their current job or the jobs available aren't good enough to incentivize them to leave.
And we have a big, big backlog where we need skilled workers of all types. There are over a million jobs right now that could be placed for people with adequate skills and training and education.
Yeah, the problem is where do you get that education if you don't already have it, and how much is it going to cost you?
Well, historically, a lot of it's been through immigration. All right, we are going to have the trivia question coming up right after the break. That's brought to you by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Topics of interest this week. I'm going to have Adam talk a little bit about us right after the break, and then I'm going to throw in a little kicker for some of you who might have been thinking it might be a good time to come and talk to us about some things. I got a little incentive package for you. Also, I want to talk about what a wrap fee is, and that works, again, into the type of business we do. I want to take a two and a half month look at Brexit. What really happened? We also want to talk about things like inheriting an IRA. But if there are topics you want to talk about, here's the way to do it. Pick up the phone, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to remind everyone that we are here live as always, but at 10:30, in order to keep listening, you can still listen on the AM side. That's 100.3. You can still listen on the FM side at 1600, but 600 will be cutting over to the Florida State football game at 10:30. The internet streams right straight through, so there's no change. But don't be surprised if you're listening and all of a sudden you start hearing something that doesn't really sound like it's about money very much.
Although the way college football is going, it's about money.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. Also want to remind everybody that not all financial shows are created equal. Since we are here live, if you would like to editorialize a bit or just make a comment or talk about some of your problems or situations, opportunities, whatever, just pick up the phone and give us a call at 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Again, the trivia question, I will give it to you now. It's a political season, and with political season comes things like government talk and that sort of thing. Where are we going to go with this government size and quality and so on? There are more government employees today than there are manufacturing employees in this country. That is a statistic I wish I never, ever had to say. But I'll turn it into a trivia question. To the nearest million, how many more government employees do we have than manufacturing employees? It is a whole number rounded, and it's quite a few because it's in the millions.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that you had to say a million is a little scary.
Yeah, real scary. All right, we do have day jobs, and we actually enjoy them very much, and we get to meet some really cool people. We've had an ongoing stretch of people coming in who are just fascinating and learning. You always learn a lot. The number one thing you learn in this business, if you're any good at it, is when people come in, you listen to them, because everybody's got a story. It's just incredible. It's truly one of the most fun things about our job. If you would like to come in, we are a fee-only firm. It will cost you nothing to have a consultation. We're very conveniently located, easy to get not just into but out of. And if you want to know exactly how, just take a listen, and Adam will give you all of the details about how to get a hold of us, how to find us, and all that.
Sure. We're right off of Butler Boulevard at the beach. We're the first exit over the bridge, and we're within a pitching wedge of that exit. So
for you,
Marsh Landing Parkway.
Might be a 7-iron for me, but a pitching wedge for you.
And our office number, in case you would like to give us a call, is 904-685-1505. You can also find us online. We're on our own website, which is vanweefinancial.com. And we do a bunch of stuff on there. You can book an appointment with us right from there. Or you can take a look at our blog, where we talk about lots of interesting topics, some of which we discuss on the radio, some of which we don't. And we update that at least twice a week, so check back often. Our podcasts are available of the show. We don't want you to miss the live show, but if you do, you can find us on the website or on iTunes or on SoundCloud.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/VanWeeFinancial or Twitter at VanWeeFinancial. And lastly, if you ever have a question and you are not the type of person that likes to call into radio shows, just email us the question, info@VanWeeFinancial.com, and we'll do our best to answer your question for you live on the air the following week.
Okay. And for those of you who might be thinking about coming in to see us, and or people who already have, I have some very exciting news. People know, if you've listened to us enough, that our custodian, which simply means the outfit that holds your money so that we never do, because you don't want people like us holding your money, because some people like us aren't like us.
Which is to say trustworthy, I hope.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got a story about that coming up in just a second. But anyway, Schwab just announced a little promotion that affects firms like ours, where anybody who comes in and signs up and gets their accounts open for the balance of this year will receive 12 months of free trades. Now, Schwab is an inexpensive platform to use anyway. A lot of things are free, mutual funds, some ETFs are free, but they're $8.95 a trade for the general equity or ETF that is not what they call a Schwab One Source. And those are free for an entire year. So if you need your portfolio revamped by doing some selling and buying, and that's what we all decide collectively to do, know that right now is a perfect time to get involved because it'll save you some money.
Yeah, and that's never a bad thing.
It is never a bad thing. I also wanted to add a couple of my personal comments about the market this week. I can't prove this. Time might be able to prove it. I can't prove it. But here's what I think. I think there are a number of reasons that people were looking to sell. Number one, profit taking. We've been talking about profit taking the last couple months in certain sectors that have really had a run up, like utilities, for instance. And there's quite a few things that were really high. Number two, it's September. People know that it's historically a very volatile and dangerous month, and they're probably a little squeamish. Number three, 9/11 is tomorrow. A lot of people don't want to get caught, I guess, holding something if they have any doubts about it, because depending on what happens tomorrow, it could be real ugly on Monday. Personally, that's not something I ever do because I never make long-term decisions based on short-term possibilities. Number four, intense negativity from the media on all sides, all sources. It's election season. The negativity in the political arena and in the financial arena, the gloom and doom, crying and hair pulling and all that, it's gotten a lot of people kind of on edge. But here's my prediction also. Depending on what happens tomorrow, I don't think Monday's going to be good, and I don't think Monday's going to be bad. I think Monday's going to be a consolidation day where people think about it. If nothing terrible goes on tomorrow in the 9/11 anniversary, I think by the end of the week, you'll probably see us pretty much back where we were.
Yeah,
I have absolutely no way to prove that. It is just pure unscientific feeling on my part, so don't think of it as a promise, but that's what I believe, and that's important for one reason and one reason only. That's how we're acting, not only with our own money, but with our clients' money. Unless we get told otherwise, we're in it for the long haul, carefully designed portfolios held for a long period of time.
And I can tell you, every trade I placed yesterday was a buy.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I was mentioning last night to a bunch of friends that our clients are obviously very well trained, because the only phone calls we got during this horrendous sell-off were, is it time to buy yet? Nobody called and said, quick, sell everything. There is nothing that makes an advisor feel better than knowing that his clients are thinking the right way. I absolutely love that. All right, I'm going to remind you of the trivia question, which is, to the nearest million, how many more government employees does this country have than manufacturing employees? A devastating thing. I mentioned, and Adam mentioned, the nature of our business. We're fee-only financial advisors. Is that important to you? You better believe it. And here's a great one why. This came from Think Advisor a couple days ago, which is a website that does a lot of financial things. And I'm not picking on anybody here. This is what the story was about. Two firms were fined by the SEC for failing to disclose what they call trade-away commissions. That means they're doing business at a location other than their own employer's place. It's not a good thing, folks. Raymond James and Robert Baird have settled charges with the SEC relating to compliance futures within their wrap fee programs. What's a wrap fee, you might wonder? In a wrap fee account, the stockbroker charges a client a flat fee. Try that a few times.
Could be a fat fee.
Could be. Well, flat fat. Annually, based on the size of the account. Because brokers are commission-based, this allows the industry to hide behind the word fee. In truth, the brokers are in need of trading the account in order to generate internal income for the firm in excess of what the brokers are taking out from that account. Therefore, what do? They make darn sure there's activity in there, whether they need it or not that month. Brokers are not fiduciaries. You'll hear that term again shortly. They are not mandated to act in a manner whereby the client's interests are always placed ahead of their own. This means they can sell products or third-party broker arrangements to generate even more commission income. Now, remember, commission income is income to the broker. It's an expense to their customer. In this particular SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission case, these people acted in a manner that was not even compliant with regulations. Back to the article. SEC investigations found that St. Petersburg, Florida-based Raymond James & Associates and Milwaukee-based Robert W. Baird failed to establish policies and procedures necessary to determine the amount of commissions their clients were being charged when sub-advisors, quote, traded away with a broker-dealer outside the wrap fee programs. All right, back to my comments. This is a classic illustration of fee-only versus fee-based financial advisors. The fee-based accounts were designed and named for one single purpose, to disguise the commission-based business model they had always employed. Only after registered investment advisors like us and the fee-only business model came into being and quickly became very popular did they invent this wrap fee concept, whereby the wrap fee makes it look like you're paying a fee to your broker when truly there's more to it than that. In this particular SEC piece, which I'm going to finish up right after the break, you're going to see exactly how some of those commissions were hidden within this wrap fee. And I'm going to tell you how it affects you and what you can do about it and what you can find out about it, and how, if you go to the right business model, this will never be a concern to you, because we are already fiduciaries. We're already fee-only. We accept that gratefully. I'll finish up shortly. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Don't forget 1600.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is the Never Forget episode. Tomorrow is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. I don't think we show it enough on television. I don't think we talk about it enough, and I fear we're losing our fear a bit. And I want everybody to remember what happened, how to prevent it. It's something that we're losing it year to year, in that there's a whole group of young people now that weren't even alive. It's hard to recall.
They're starting high school.
Yeah, exactly. So when they get out, I just hope we keep the memories alive and do the right thing about it. That's my only point here. All right, the trivia question, again, brought to you by First Coast Alarm, is to the nearest million, how many more government employees do we have than manufacturing employees today? And a reminder that this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Or you could just run over to my house right after the show and talk to him in person, because he's going to be mowing down my wheat field today. It's been a tough week after the storm and so on for people like that. And Adam's going to talk a little bit about things like hurricanes in just a minute. But I wanted to wrap up a little bit more, no pun intended, on this wrap fee thing. Again, this is from a Think Advisor website piece. And it's about the SEC coming down on Raymond James and Robert Baird and some others for poor disclosure in the way they do business. Without this information, the firm's brokers were unable to provide the magnitude of these costs to clients and did not consider these commissions when determining whether sub-advisors or the wrap program itself were suitable for clients, leaving certain clients unaware that they were paying additional costs beyond the single wrap fee that they paid for bundled investment services. Now, that's important. You hear that? Clients were unable to discern what they were really paying. That's not transparency the way I see it. The report goes on, the workings of the wrap fee program, a version of fee-based advising, is to disguise commissions from the customer, which I believe I just said in my own words. They didn't have to say it, but they did. They made it so crystal clear exactly what was going on. They also say, without admitting or denying charges, Baird and Raymond James consented to the SEC's order, with Raymond James agreeing to pay a $600,000 penalty to settle charges, and Baird agreeing to pay a $250,000 penalty. Well, my comment is, when was the last time you were willing to cough up $600,000 or even $250,000 for an alleged but so-called unproven act? Neither confirming nor denying guilt doesn't really matter if you can see right through it. Costs are a critical factor when firms determine whether a particular investment product is suitable for a client, said the SEC. No kidding. And how do you know that if you don't know the cost? The SEC has taken the unusual step over the last few months, and I'm going to once again do what I very seldom do, and I'm going to credit the administration with this. They have implemented, it's not in full force and effect yet, but it's going, a fiduciary rule for the formerly non-fiduciary stockbrokers of the world. And all that crying and screaming you hear out there, that is the brokers trying to come up with some excuse why it should be either weakened, postponed, or canned, or whatever. The biggest thing you're going to hear, you already hear it, and you're going to keep hearing it, is, oh, then you're going to rob the littler investors from getting good advice. And I say, that sentence is too long. You're going to keep a lot of investors from getting bad advice. That's my view of it. And am I biased? You better believe it. When we started this business a year and a half ago, we could choose any format for the business we wanted. There was only one thing that made us comfortable. That is being a registered investment advisor, fee only, not fee-based, fee only, and we are certified financial planners. We took the fiduciary pledge when we started the business, and that is that. So if you're with a broker right now and you want to know more, the easiest way is just ask them, what am I really paying? What is my complete cost breakdown? If you don't like the answer, I have another idea.
Or if they don't give you a straight answer.
Right. Now I have another idea. And that idea would be, pick up the phone and dial 685-1505 and come and see us. You'll know one thing for sure when you walk in the door. You're not going to get any double talk about what you're paying. We are neither proud nor ashamed of what we charge. We have a set way of doing things. It's kind of an industry standard. You just get more for what you pay with us because we operate together, so you're getting two for the price of one all the time. So give us a call if you're worried about it. Call the show if you're concerned about it. But don't be afraid to ask what's going on if you've been doing business with somebody and you feel like there's maybe a little something you don't know. I might also add that there were another $9.5 million in fines recently to places like Royal Alliance, Sage Point Financial, and FSC Securities, all about the RAPV violations. Folks, you got to come clean and tell your people what you're doing if you're going to be in this business. That's that. All right, Adam wants to talk about football and hurricanes, and I thought he was going to talk about Miami, but no, actually.
No, not Miami, actually. That's one of the exceptions to what I'm going to talk about. But what I want to know is what football season and hurricanes have in common, and I'm not talking about the time of year that they both tend to happen.
They happen in Florida.
Well, that is true. Mm-hmm. And also, there's something that comes up around this time of year routinely, and the topic is price gouging. And the reason you hear it around football is that we have several college towns in Florida, including Tallahassee and Gainesville, and there's a limited supply of hotel rooms. And during game weekends, guess what happens?
They give them away.
Not exactly. In fact, they probably charge four times what they normally charge, and they make you stay for two nights more.
Well, that's terrible.
It's awful, isn't it?
They ought to be dragged through the mud.
Yeah, something like that. And during hurricanes, what happens when a hurricane is about to hit is, unfortunately, the laws go into effect where price gouging becomes illegal, which means that you can't charge any more for any item that is considered necessary than you would have the day before the hurricane was announced it was going to hit.
Something. Fair.
Right.
My favorite word.
Yeah, fair. Something like that. However, so anyways, let's start with the definition of price gouging. According to LegalDictionary.net, the practice of raising prices on certain types of goods and services to an unfair level, especially during a state of emergency.
Yeah, new fare would be in there.
Exactly. It's that fairness thing that comes up so often from politicians as well.
Mm-hmm.
So many people believe that this should be illegal, and I disagree with all of them. And before you get upset with me, let me explain why. First of all, from a very general economic standpoint, price gouging is actually just a move up the demand curve. If you have ever taken Economics 101, you know that as demand for an item rises that has limited supply, the cost increases. Take the example of the hotel rooms. Why do you think the prices go up like they do? Because the demand on those weekends skyrockets.
Well, just build a bunch more and leave them empty most of the time.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I'm not going to invest in that company.
On a game weekend, there might be an additional 50,000 people coming into town to watch the whatever football team you support, and they all have a decision to make. That decision comes down to three choices: book a room for the night in the city, book a room outside the city, or drive home. The cheapest option is usually to drive home that night, but is also the most inconvenient if the game ends late. You have to fight traffic out of the city, stay awake on the way home, and then usually find yourself very tired the next day. The option of getting a room outside of the city is slightly cheaper, as a rural hotel room probably won't have the demand that a room inside the city does, and will therefore be cheaper. But you still have to fight traffic and then drive for a while. The most expensive option is to stay in the city. This is where the hotels get accused of gouging. And I'm going to come back to this after the break, and there's a lot more to it. It's actually a very interesting topic that I think that you can find people who are like-minded on a lot of things who will disagree on this one issue.
I think you find a lot of people, too, who look at a situation that doesn't involve them. For instance, sitting over here post-Katrina and looking at people driving a bunch of generators down to that area and charging instead of the $400 they might have been pre-Katrina, it might be $1,400 or $2,000 after that. And you say, well, isn't that awful? Those poor people, they need all the help they can get. Well, if you were a Home Depot operator up in Atlanta and you had a whole bunch of generators and they wanted them over in Katrina, are you going to deny your public the opportunity? Because... well, I'll get to it right after the break. Gotta run. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the final segment of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And do remember to never forget, tomorrow's 9/11. Just see something, say something. All right. Adam was into the hurricane versus football game economics of things. And he's going to wrap that up, but I first want to remind people that the trivia question is still out there. How many million more government employees do we have over manufacturing employees? And the answer to this, to me, is just absolutely disgusting. But I digress. And let's get back to hurricanes.
Well, quick reminder, a correct guess on that question will get you a $25 gift card,
true,
courtesy of Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm.
Yep.
So, football. And game weekend.
By the way, tomorrow's the perfect football day.
It is. It is. The Jags.
If you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
This is the only no-lose game of the year, the way I see it.
My two teams. So,
yep.
Yeah. So price gouging. So as you may have noticed, hotel rooms in Gainesville and Tallahassee on game weekends are very expensive. So what would happen if the hotels didn't raise their prices on those weekends? Pretty much everyone traveling to town would choose that option and get a hotel room, because why not? If it was cheap, there's no decision to make. Obviously, that's the most convenient choice. Everyone's going to do it. So essentially, the second those rooms became available, they would all be booked.
Right.
So that's great if you're one of the first however many hotel rooms. Let's say there's 2,000 hotel rooms in Gainesville. And if you're one of the first 2,000 people to call and get the room, great for you. What about the rest of the people? They're
if you're in the stadium and you tell them what you've paid for a hotel room, don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to be popular.
Exactly. A couple of things are going to happen. One, no one's going to be able to get a hotel room. So you don't even have that option anymore. Suddenly, and we have a caller. So
yeah, we'll just interrupt briefly. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Hey, good. I'm good. A couple things. Your analogy on the hurricanes and football, price gouging. I thought about food first thing. You know, when's the last time you saw the price of a hot dog or a beer at the Jaguars?
Yankee Stadium. That's the truth.
I can tell you, I paid $8 for a beer last weekend at the Florida State game in Orlando. $8.
You got to be some kind of thirsty.
Yeah. And the hot dog's probably $6.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I had a guess on your trivia.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say about $3 million.
Unfortunately, that's pretty low.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is that not disgusting? That the number is quite a bit bigger than that. That it just it breaks my heart to say these things, but that's why I bring them up, because I always try to make a point.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, we got to fix this. You know, there are more employees in the Department of Agriculture than there are farmers. What's wrong with that?
I wouldn't doubt it. A lot.
Yeah, you can say a lot with one sentence if you're careful, right?
And yet nobody's surprised.
Yeah, it's so true. All right, okay. Well, we appreciate it. Anything else we can do for you?
No, I don't have any questions for you. Thanks, though.
Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Oh, now we got a bracket, 3 to infinity.
All right, it's a start.
Carry on. More about hotel rooms and hot dogs.
Yes. So... what would happen if they didn't raise the price? All the hotel rooms would be gone, and the next person in line to go to the game is going to not be even have that choice of staying in the city. So essentially you're taking away one of the three choices that I spoke of earlier. So is that really fair after all? Because he doesn't even get that choice. He's got to either leave the city and find a hotel room outside the city or drive home. So instead, when they raise the prices, you actually get to make that choice. You can decide, do you want to spend $400 a night for two nights to get that hotel room, or do you want to just hit the road and drive home or drive outside the city and spend less money?
There's some sub-choices in there, too. Like, do you want to pay a little bit more and be walking distance to the stadium?
Well, yeah, you have that choice because of the hotels raising their prices. And that way, not everything sells out, just 98% or something. And it also allows those hotels to stay in business, because I'm sure that they are not making money most Monday nights in those small college towns. They might have 15, 20% of the rooms filled at a $100 rate. They're probably lucky to break even. They make their money on those weekends.
Mm-hmm. And once again, to the front of the line, good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. I lost you on the radio. Is there a window where people called in for a number between here and there?
It's above 3.
It's above 3.
Yes.
I'll guess $10 million.
Now, where did you come up with a number like that?
Just a wild guess. I always do wild guesses.
The actual number is $9,932,000. And since I asked for it. Exactly right.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations. This is a number. It breaks my heart to even say it, but there are 10 million more people working for government than for manufacturing. It's disgusting, but not to you, because you just won a gift certificate.
Thank you so much.
I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your addresses and such. Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay.
How about that? That was a nice guess.
That was.
That's a pretty broad bracket from 3 to infinity.
Yeah.
To choose one correct number out of it. Amazing.
Impressive.
All right. Anyway, back to... okay. Price gouging versus reality.
Basically, my point was the fact that you have that choice to make is due to the hotels raising their price. And so this also applies to disaster areas like a hurricane. When you think about, Dad brought up the concept of the generator earlier, and the reason that you can't find a generator during or right before or right after a hurricane is the price gouging laws. There would be a ton of people who would load up a truck, cram as many generators as possible, and drive to a hurricane affected area and sell them. But you know what? They had to pay for those generators. They had to pay for the truck. They had to pay for the gas. They had to pay for the hotel room to get back and forth. But legally, they are not allowed to sell those generators for more than they paid for them. But they incurred all those extra costs. Now, there are going to be some people who, out of the goodness of their heart, might do something like that. Yeah. But most people don't want to lose a bunch of money to go help out some people they don't know. They would do it if they could even recoup their costs. But instead, what happens is no one's going to drive to that area with a generator because they run the risk of getting arrested for price gouging. It just makes no sense. If you allowed all those goods and services to flow in and charge regular prices and people to make those decisions, whether it's really worth that, you know, paying double for a generator when it's basically a legitimate cost that someone incurred, people would make those decisions. But instead, you just don't have that option and you're stuck without power for as long as it takes to get the power back
on. Yeah, if you got a freezer full of expensive food and no electricity, that generator is going to look mighty cheap.
And not to mention the other things that it gives incentive to do is for people to run to Home Depot before the hurricane, buy them out of generators.
Yeah, thereby virtually guaranteeing no supply in your neighborhood.
Exactly. And so then the one person has 30 generators sitting in their garage, probably going to go and resell them. But the next person who maybe has a baby at home or a ailing parent who needs electricity for a medical device, they can't get them. So who are you really helping with these price gouging laws? To me, it's ridiculous.
And those are brought to you by politicians who know better than you what's good for you.
Right? As always. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, funny thing about economics, it should be so much common sense, little things like supply and demand, but we don't see much common sense in our economics these days.
Or in our politics.
Well, unfortunately, today's crop is more of the Keynesian philosophy, which has been shown. We got into a big discussion about this last night with a bunch of folks. Keynes has been disproven, discredited, dis-everything for so long, and yet everybody up in the government right now is a government-based economist, which is what Keynes was. And they ignore all of the recent history and all the proof that's everywhere from the monetarist school that was started by Milton Friedman and done by several others, von Mises and so on. And it's the difference in our lifestyle. It's the difference in things like the trivia question that I just did. The fact that we have 10 million more people just working for government, which means, by the way, to produce virtually nothing, over a manufacturing industry here in this country, which has managed to pretty much hold its own in terms of GDP only because of innovation and that sort of thing. But when you're listening to the politicians say they're going to bring jobs home, good jobs, you know, there's a big discussion to be had about it. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but I'm saying I'm 100% interested, and so should you. So let's talk about that over the next few weeks before this thing's over a little bit. But remember, it all comes down to your money, and that's what we care about. Give us a call at the office, 685-1505. Come back next week. We'll be on 600 for the first half hour. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Never forget,